Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
It's such a great delight when you see the Word of God in the sermon fall into place with the worship. Last night I was talking about God being a fortress and a refuge, and I didn't even know we were singing "You're My Refuge" this morning. And as we were singing it, right, "He's a Father, I'm not alone." I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then we started singing, well, actually, during the worship service, I got a little confused. I don't know if you've noticed. I started talking about God being a refuge and everything, and I thought that the next song we were singing was "My Refuge," but it wasn't. The next song was "I Will Give You All My Worship." So I was like, darn it, I got ahead of schedule. I thought I had it in the right order, and I didn't. So I wanted to save that to say it before the song, "You're My Refuge." But it didn't work that way. But then as we were singing, "I will give you all my worship, and I will bow down, hell you as king," and I started thinking, wait a second, that's part of the message I'm preaching today on Solomon. Worshiping in the right place. Being wise about your worship as a father. So it fit right through. And as I was reading and singing the lyrics, I was laughing inside. And you guys didn't notice that. But I was, on the inside, I was actually smiling and laughing and thinking, wow, how God orchestrates and puts things together and confirms in your heart when you're about to say something, and he gives you the words and he knows what he wants you to say. So now that I've taken all that time to explain that, I want to get into the word and talk about a wise father. And I want to ask you before we go to the word, what can a father wish for his children in their lives? Think about it. If you were given by God the opportunity to simply choose one thing for your children in their future, what would you ask for, dear daddy? What would you want for them? Well, I know that there were some things that you might have wished for your children as they were growing up. Or you might not be a father yet you're thinking, what would you want your family and your children to grow up to be or do or whatever? Well, maybe your children have already grown up and they're already even gone. They're not even here, nowhere near close, yet you still have hopes, dreams, and things that you wish for them. Maybe have a great career, to get an education, to prosper, to pick the right woman, the right man for their lives, to have a great family, to give you grandchildren, whatever it is. But you see, all of that falls in line with one wish, with one petition. Lord, give them wisdom. Because it is based on wisdom that you make good decisions. And if your children are wise and make good decisions, all of the above can happen. Right? So this is something that I'm pretty sure every parent understands and every parent desires in their hearts. When it boils down to it, that my children make healthy and good decisions. That is wisdom. See, and the thing is that some children, let me tell you, your children may be great. They might not be all as smart as, you know, one of them may be smarter than the other. It's not about being smart. You don't have to be the smartest person to be wise. You get it? There are some intelligent people out there that are not very wise, let's just say. They have all the knowledge and they can tell you, but they just can't make right decisions. And maybe you're not so intelligent, or maybe you are, but you can still be wise. Like the old potato chips, you know, get wise. That was from years and years back. Some of you don't remember that, but that's okay, I do. because I'm wise. No, I'm just kidding. Let's read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Talk about Solomon here. See, David had died, and before he died, one of his sons tried to take the throne and by force and with foolishness. But at the end of it all, Solomon was the one appointed by God to take over the kingdom. And God made sure that David bestowed that upon Solomon. And Solomon finally takes the kingdom. And right at his start, this is what happens. Chapter 3, 1 Kings says, then Solomon formed a marriage alliance with Pharaoh king of Egypt, meaning that he married one of his daughters, okay? He married one of Pharaoh's daughters from Egypt and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. So he went out and sought a woman outside of the people of God. You can see where this is going now. Verse 2. The people were still sacrificing on the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statues of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now wait a second. It says here that they were burning and they were worshiping in the high places. And then it says here, Solomon loved the Lord, but he burned incense in the high places. So now you can tell that those high places where they were worshiping were not God's will. But the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Okay, so here goes Solomon to one of the high places. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Oh, wait a second. Solomon is worshiping in the high places where pagan people did, yet God showed up. That's pretty weird, isn't it? Let's just keep going. Then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And, of course, he's referring to the ability of David, his father, to be a warrior. Remember, David was a warrior. He went out to war, and he did so much war. He killed so many people that God actually said, you're not building my temple. There's too much blood on your hands. We're going to let your son do that. Wow. See, he's like, I'm not like my father. He's a warrior. He goes out, he wins, and he comes back with a crown. That's the way he does. But I don't know. I'm young. I don't know how to do this. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What did he ask for? Wisdom. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, but both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all of your days. If you, now check this out, conditions. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Then Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and made peace offerings and made a feast for all of his servants.
Notice in verse 15 that he was in the wrong place. And as soon as God spoke to him, he said, whoa, I need to go back to the right place. And so he went back to Jerusalem and made a peace offering between him and God and offered sacrifices and said, here I am, now in the right place. Now we can have a feast. What a wonderful thing it is when we use God's wisdom. Now, so needless to say, my first point is get wise. Get wise. This is not just for fathers. It's for all of us. Seek God's wisdom. Ask for it. What did Solomon ask for? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask for prolonged life. He didn't ask for health. He didn't ask for anything. He said, just give me wisdom. Guess what? You need it, and God gives it. Simple as that. You need wisdom? Ask God. Why? Because if you need it, of course you do, and I do. And God is the one who gives it. That's what he asked for. And let me ask you, did God give him some wisdom? Did God give him some wisdom? No, he gave him all the wisdom he needed. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. This is an awesome verse. I love this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Who is that? God. He is able to give more abundantly beyond what you ask, beyond what I can think, whatever you can imagine. God is able to do that and much, much, much more. God gives bigger. God gives better. God gives more abundantly than you can even imagine. So I tell you, Daddy, use your imagination and ask and just watch God give you something bigger and something better and more abundant than you can even think. Ask for wisdom. We all need it. You see, because when we become wise, we can make an impact on our children's life. Now, see, God gave Solomon wisdom, but he also added onto that riches and honor. He said, there's not going to be another one like you. No other person on this earth, of course, apart from Jesus Christ, who is God, will be as wise as you. And yet, we see Solomon make mistakes, big mistakes, horrendous mistakes. He gives him all the riches. You'll be the richest, you'll be the wisest, and yet Solomon messed it up in some way. There's not going to be another one like you. Yet, he messes it up. See, but there's a lesson to be learned too here. Let me tell you something, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, whoever. There's no one like you. When God made you, he broke the mold. And I'm so glad he did, because I wouldn't want two of you. You wouldn't want two of me. Even Marilyn and Caroline over there. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between them. But trust me, they're different, aren't they? Oh, yeah. They're unique. They're unique. And so are you. So am I. We're all like that. But if you want to be like someone, don't try to be like other men. Don't try to be like Solomon. Try to be like Jesus. Amen? Don't try to be like any other man. Try to be like Christ, the man. And get wise. See, the same thing for your children. You may be asking God, oh, please, God, help my children to make wise decisions. Oh, God, help them see this. Oh, God, help them do that. And I think that's a prayer for all parents here, of course. And you know, your children may get wisdom. They may get riches. They may get honor, too. But you have to understand that not all of them are going to be as adventurous, not all are going to be as faithful and as compassionate and as obedient or as you. But you give them all the same love and care, and you pray for them all the same way. Give them wisdom, oh God. See, Solomon recognized. He said at the beginning, oh God, you have placed me as a king. And I am nowhere near like my father. He was recognizing that God had bestowed upon his own father these gifts and so many great things. Now let me ask you something. Can your children say the same thing about you? Can my children say the same thing about me? Do they feel like Solomon and say, you know what, God, I can't measure up. Look at my dad. He's awesome. Will your children say the same thing about you? Wow, that's something to aspire to. Can the children see within you and me a man after God's own heart? Because that's what the Bible calls him. Will your children see or say one day, I want to have what my dad has. I want to be like him. Not like Mike, but like my dad. Can your children say that? You know, and one of the things that we as parents, and I think I speak for many of you, is that we want the best for our children, right? We want the best for them. But we know and we understand that the best for them can only come when they are wise enough to make the right decisions, right? When they're able to make wise decisions. So, what is the... You can ask any father, maybe, and ask him, what's the best gift you can give me as a father? What's the best gift I expect from my children? What's the best gift or the greatest gift that a father may expect from his children? Just do the right thing, right? Just use what you've gotten. Do the right thing. Use wisdom. Make wise decisions. Now, of course, it is our duty then to know how to lead them and where to take them. You see, Solomon was worshiping in the wrong altar. He was going to the wrong altar. He was in the high places where everybody went. But really and truly, that's not where he belonged. But you need to then show them where the altar is so that they may return to it when they need to. You see, Solomon knew that. He learned that from his father. You see, what happened with Solomon is he had how many wives? He had so many, I can't even count. And over 1,000 concubines. Women all over the place. That was not wise. We don't even know how to handle one. I'm not even wise enough to handle one. You know? I'm telling you. Solomon was messed up, man. You know what we call today, you know, predator sex addicts and all that stuff? I think Solomon was really sick, man. He was looking for the pleasures of this world on one side, but he was the wisest man and the king that God had appointed on the other. You know, there may be times in our lives as fathers that we feel like failures because we know that we've been set and that God has placed us with this great, beautiful family that we have. And we do the best we can, but sometimes we just do stuff and say stuff and think stuff and don't exercise what God has given us. And we feel shame and we feel bad and we know we fail. We're human, but yet we have to know the way back to the right altar. You see, know where God's altar is and go worship him. Turn back from the bad ways and go to the right place. And then when your children see that, someday, somehow, some way, they will do the same. That's what Solomon did. Solomon knew that the heart of his father was in Jerusalem. That's where he set himself as king, and that's where he knew the presence of God would be. That's where he knew the temple of God would be built, and that's where he stayed. And Solomon was going from there to other places to worship because he got so involved with women from other countries and other customs and other traditions and pagan worship because he got into the wrong relationships. And isn't that one of the things that we pray for in the lives of our family, that we get into the right relationships, that our children pick the right one, that our children do the right thing. And Solomon knew that. And when he found himself in the wrong place, guess what? God came seeking him. Even though he was in the wrong place, God showed up in the dream and said, "Hey, I'm here." And you know, we can be in the wrong place and God can still hear us. And if we listen, he'll tell us where to go. And if we know where to go, our children will know where to go. You see, if you remember the story of Israel, you know that it was the presence of God was marked or symbolized and represented by the Ark of the Covenant. It was a big box covered with gold, and inside there were the Moses tablets and a cup of manna and the rod of Aaron that had flourished and all these things. But you see, it wasn't just artifacts that you would pray to or go to or use as your good luck charms or whatever. No, God left those things as reminders of his presence. And everywhere the ark went, the presence of God was. And guess what? The Philistines, the enemy, knew that. The source of the power is the presence of God. And the presence of their God is in that ark. We need to steal it. And they took it. And they took the Ark of the Covenant back to their place. And guess what? Once they had it, a plague came on them. God started hitting them with plagues. And they're like, something's wrong here. So let's just take it to another city. They took it to another city. And that city started having the same problem. And then they said, no, something's got to be wrong. Let's take it to another city. And the Philistines just kept going. And after three times, they said, you know what? Strike three, we're out. Let's give it back to the Israelites. We don't want this thing. And when they brought it back, David was king at the time. He danced and he celebrated and he came with his people and brought it back to where? Jerusalem, where it belonged. And put it in the place where the temple was later built. See, that's what happens when you know where you're supposed to be. God will speak to you and he'll tell you. Now, we notice that at the beginning, of course, like I said, Solomon is in the wrong place, but then later he comes back to the right place in the last verse. And that's why we need to be mindful and listening, that even though we may be in the wrong place, God is calling us and he's speaking to you and me, and he will bring us to the right place in his presence. Now, as you pray for your children, as parents, they might go to places where you don't approve. They might stay until wee hours that you don't approve. They might relate to people you don't approve. They might make decisions that you don't approve of. But God is merciful and he is loving. And guess what? You just keep praying because he can reach them wherever they go. Even if they think they're in the highest of places, God can bring them back to the place of worship. And pray that they may return to the altar of God, to the presence of God, and that God will grant them the desire to stay there, and that you would lead the way as parents. And guess what? God is going to test your faith. God is going to test you. You know, immediately after God had given the wisdom to Solomon, said, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you honor and riches. You just stay in my statues. Immediately, guess what happened? His wisdom was tested. The two ladies come over with the baby. Remember the story? This baby mine. No, this baby mine. No, this baby mine. And they're fighting over a baby. Now, Solomon's awesome. I'm pretty sure you, or me would have thought about it. You may look at it and I was like, that's the obvious. Yeah, right. You know the story? They're fighting over the baby. This baby's mine. No, this baby's mine. And Solomon says, okay, I'll tell you whose baby it is. Take the baby, kill it. And one of the ladies said, well, go ahead. And the other one's like, no, please. I'm like, okay, we know who the mama is now, right? Give it to her. Shut up. Huh? Wow, what a solution. If they would have brought that to me, I'd still be in my office thinking, whose baby is it? We need a DNA test. I don't know what to do here. It's amazing. And he became famous to the point. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. This is how wonderful, how awesome God was through Solomon. Now, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Man, that's a lot. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of East and all of the wisdom of Egypt. And Egypt was considered the cradle of wisdom. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and Israel, Heman, Calcol, and Darda. All of these names, your grandchildren can carry them. Remember that. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. Wow. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were over 1,000. What a man. Wow. All of that wisdom. But Solomon made some mistakes. His problem? He went adrift in some areas of his life. Because of his divided attention between the altar of God and the altar of his passions, he left Israel and Jerusalem. He left the altar of God for the high places. Because of his fleshly desires, he did the wrong thing. God had instructed them, do not mix with other people. I want you to be my people, my nation, my children, do not go out there seeking. Stay within. But he didn't follow the rules. Don't you hate it when your children, knowing the rules, they blatantly just do whatever they feel or want or think? Some of you fathers are like, yeah. Yeah, but pow, pow. Praise the Lord. Oh, sorry, kids. Right? Oh, my goodness. Do the sign of the cross. Pow, pow. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my children. Right? Don't you hate it when that happens? But here we go. Here's Solomon, a father himself. You know what happened to the kingdom of God right after him? The kingdom of God got divided right after Solomon. What happened? Here's the wisest man on earth. And his first two children, the first thing they do is divide the kingdom, divided the people of Israel, and it became the problem for there forevermore. The nation of Israel got divided by Solomon's children. Don't you hate it? Here's Solomon, who wrote 3,000 proverbs, over 1,000 songs, and most of these songs and proverbs are directed to his sons and daughters. They're directed to the children. Yet he was not the best example of all the wisdom that God had given him. You see, it's like he wasn't walking his talk. He was saying all these things, brilliant things. And today, 3,000 years later, we still marvel at the words of Solomon and his brilliance in the Proverbs. What an amazing thing, but his children must have marveled at his inability to actually do what he was talking about, to apply it in his own life. And I'm going to ask you, and I ask myself, is that the legacy we want to leave our children? My dad was such a smart guy. Oh, he could say the things that I needed to hear. Oh, my goodness, he had answers to everything, but yet he couldn't do it for himself. That hurts. Is that the legacy we want to leave our children? So what? We need to watch our spiritual direction. Spiritual direction. His statutes, his commands are to be in our hearts. His ways. If we want to become champions for God, we need to learn his ways. And one of the most famous ever made, greatest ever made movies, Nacho Libre. At one point, Esqueleto speaks to his partner, Nacho, and says, "Well, how are we going to win?" And Nacho says, "We must learn their ways. You want to win with Christ, you must learn his ways." You need to stay the course. We need to stay the course. You see, every morning it is our duty as parents to get in our secret place and open up the map each morning and look at the course that we're going to set for the day. Make sure you know where you're expected to be at, with God, of course, we're talking, and set the course and stay the course. Every morning we need to set ourselves with God and sit down and say, okay, God, what is it that we're going to do today? What is it that you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? What is it that you want me to do? And you need to keep in touch with him throughout the day. You know, keep your GPS on throughout the day and listen for his directions. I know some of those voices on those GPS are weird. But listen to him in prayer throughout the day. Maybe you need to adjust your course. No shortcuts. But if you have to make adjustments along the way, exercise wisdom. Remember your final destination and where you need to arrive and where you need to be, because he is waiting for you there. Watch your spiritual direction. Remember that you are paving the way for your children. We are the example. So walk firmly, dear Father. I posted this on Facebook this morning. This is original, okay? I didn't copy this from anybody. It's one of those few things that I may have written. If you want your children to follow your footsteps, then make sure that your imprint is clear, deep, and in the right direction. Make sure your imprint is deep, it's clear, and in the right direction. Because when you do that, sooner or later, your children will follow, will follow, will follow. See, God asked Solomon to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his command, so that his life would be prolonged. But Solomon drifted from God's course. How did he drift? He was seeking pleasures outside of God's will. He had his eyes fixed on the flesh. And we need to be careful, because our children are watching. Whether young or old, they're still watching us. They'll still keep an eye on you till the day you die. Have you ever navigated through the water or the air? Have you ever experienced life on a ship or an airplane? You have to stay the course. If not, you don't get to where you want to go, right? Now, one of the things that happens is, if you ever played with if you ever made a little boat and tossed it in the water as a kid, did you ever do that? You even made out of paper. You fold them up, you make this little boat, and you put it in the water, and then you start moving the waters until you see it float. Where does it go? Wherever the wind takes it. If you would take a balloon and fill it up with hot air and just let it go, where would it go? It would drift to wherever the wind takes it. And we cannot do that with our lives as parents, because there are people following us and they're called children. You see, if you do that, then where are they going to end up? You need to make the proper corrections. You need to make the proper corrections and steer the vessel so it won't be carried away and carried adrift to the wrong destination. There are times in which seemingly you're going to have to make some corrections in your life that may not seem right, or may not seem, or they may be awkward. They may be difficult to understand, but you need to do that. One of the things I've learned when I was a young kid flying airplanes is that if you want to land on the strip and the runway, you have to make sure you know where your winds are coming from. If your wind is coming this way, you're not going to land by just going straight there. You're going to end up over there because the wind's going to carry over there. So what do? You make a correction and you fly like this, sideways. It's called crabbing. And you just point at the wind, but you're flying this way because the wind is carrying you through. Then at the last moment, right before you hit the ground, you turn it and you hit the ground. Now, of course, we're talking about little bitty airplanes with 2 or 4 people in them. The wind would throw them away. Now, you talk about these big cows with 300 or 400 people in them, it's a little different, but yet it's the same principle. And it may be awkward and weird trying to go sideways, and you're like, oh no, we're going to crash. Oh no, we're not. We're doing okay. We're going straight to where we need to go. But we're just pointing in the other direction. And those are the kind of adjustments that sometimes as parents we need to make in life. Our children may not understand them and say, why is my dad pointing that way but flying the other way? Don't worry, son. You'll understand when we get to our destination. And they'll learn to do the same thing, to make corrections as they go. And let me tell you something. Today is the day to adjust your course if you need to. It's never too late. Never too late to make corrections. Like I said, maybe your children are already grown and made their own decisions and they live their own lives. But I tell you something, they have not taken their eyes off of you. And you know that because they criticize you. Don't they? And they let you know when you're wrong. You know what that means? That they have their eyes on you. And they will. You see, it may seem that they want nothing to do with you, or it may seem that they're too busy with other people in their lives to pay attention to you, or it may seem like they've lost their course. But guess what? They're looking at you. They're looking at me. So make whatever corrections you need to make as a parent. Let's make corrections in our lives. Because I'm pretty sure that if you ask any parent, any father, their greatest fear or their greatest worry is finding out that their children are going the wrong way. And you don't want them to make the same mistakes as you did. Right, Papa? You don't want them to make the same mistakes because it hurts. Making corrections, it's hard. Making corrections takes effort. It takes strength. It takes guts. It's not easy. Actually, it takes all these corrections in our lives may take guts, it may take strength and all the effort. It actually takes an act of God to change me. It takes an act of God to truly make the right corrections in your life and to get you on the right course. Just remember Solomon. He left 3,000 proverbs. He left over 1,000 songs. Most of them about daughters and sons. But some of his examples in life did not pair up with his writings. Yet, God called him, set him aside, and used him. And so can you and I be used by God. The opportunity to pair up our talk with our walk as fathers and to make sure that that pathway leads straight to God. That we walk in the ways of God. And when we walk in the ways of God, your children will notice. And in due time, they will also follow the ways of God. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way. The way.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented. A message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.